Hi everyone, here's one you'll know, Psalm 23. Maybe you can recite it. We know that David the shepherd wrote it, and we probably heard it during hard times, maybe like funerals. If you think you know everything there is to know about this psalm, and you're already putting it into practice in your everyday life, then just skip me. Just skip this video and move on with your life. But if you think that there's something in this that perhaps you haven't yet grasped, or there could be something new for you here, stick around for a bit. You're still here. Awesome. Let's carry on. First, some context about the psalm. David knew God, but he hadn't had the same revelation of God that we have the privilege of having. God hadn't yet come to earth in the flesh, in the form of his son, Jesus, because Jesus was born into David's family tree. David wasn't able to call God Father like we can, because David hadn't been adopted into God's family through the shed blood and the death and resurrection of Jesus. But David did recognize that God was love. Even more amazing for us is that David wanted to build a temple for God's presence to dwell in. But now, if we belong to Jesus, we are God's temples. So he dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. So God is with us. And as amazing and well known as Psalm 23 is, God is with us in a more powerful way than he was with the author, David. I'm going to say two things about this psalm that I want to focus on, because three-point sermons are, you know, pretty well known, but how often do we remember the 3 points? Two is hopefully more memorable. First, Jesus is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd, isn't he? He said that himself. But he is our shepherd, point one, by the Holy Spirit. We've just had Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit is so important to our daily lives as Christians. And so it's important that we recognize that God is with us. Jesus is with us by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 is worth looking at. If you've got your Bible open, verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. How is God with us? Well, God the Father is in heaven. Jesus ascended to heaven. We recently had Ascension Sunday. So what does that mean for us? How is God with us? He's with us by the Holy Spirit. And if we read verse 4, what it says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because as difficult as our valleys in our lives can be at times, we go through them, and God remains with us by his Holy Spirit. He leads us through. David says, you are with me. We too can say to God, you are with me. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, for the fact you are with me and in my life by the Holy Spirit. Our shepherd will never abandon us, no matter what the trial. In John 16, Jesus said to his disciples, it is better for you that I go, so that I can send the helper. My friends, the helper is here, the Holy Spirit of the living God, God living in us, is here. This is amazing stuff. I'm sure you'll agree that much of Psalm 23 sounds really pleasant. We can picture the green pastures, the refreshing waters. We can almost smell the scene. Some might call it lush. Often when Christians give a testimony of what God's done in their life, telling their story of his goodness, they tend to talk about what happened years ago. That's fine, and it has its place. It's good that we do that. But we can't dine out, as it were, on what God did years ago. Just like what Peter said in his podcast on Tuesday, number 69, if you want to listen to it, on the church website. Peter said, we need to know that God is at work in our lives now. And that's true. We need to know where God is leading us now, what he's saying to us now, by his Holy Spirit. If we look at verse 6, we hear, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is a promise of heaven here. There is a promise that Jesus will never let us go when we are with him, in relationship with him. And I have seen Christians who are dying, literally on their deathbeds, who know that they are going to be with Jesus. I've known medical staff in hospitals who aren't Christians talking about the tangible peace that they have known in the room of a Christian who has gone to be with Jesus. A real sense of the Spirit's presence. So when we say things like, you are with me from this psalm, and when we say other things from this psalm like, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, they will. Yes, we shall. Our God is faithful. But even though it's appropriate that, you know, dying Christians know these words to be true, and even though it's appropriate that we hear these words at funerals for such a reason as that, we can't just sit back enjoying our salvation with a ticket in our hands that says heaven on it. No, sir. You see, if we are alive, then the Good Shepherd has more to show us, more to do both in us and through us. The question is, if God is our shepherd, if Jesus is our shepherd by the Holy Spirit, how open are you and I to being led by the Holy Spirit daily? We won't get through those dark valleys without him. Our souls won't be restored without him. He is the one who gives us the water of life to drink. Do we depend on him daily, as a sheep depends on their shepherd, asking him to lead us, equip us, sustain us? God has other sheep to bring into the fold. Jesus said that himself. May he use us to do that as we learn to depend on him. So that was point one. Jesus is with us. He is our shepherd by the Holy Spirit. And point two is this. Like sheep, we too were created for community. There's a question here. Who helps you to hear the shepherd's voice? And who are you hearing the shepherd's voice for? So God is with us by the Holy Spirit. That's how he shepherds us. But he's also with us in another wonderful way, through the miracle of Christian fellowship. David knew that sheep are not solitary creatures, and nor are we. A few years ago in my previous church, I went on a sheep herding day with some of the leaders. And it was a wonderful experience in North Yorkshire. We had to navigate these sheep through some cones, and we had to kind of move them around this field. We didn't really know what we were doing, but we had to guide the sheep together. And what happened was, at this one particular point, we were in the middle of the field, and there were only four of us, but we'd gathered around and we'd got the sheep in the middle of this circle that we'd made. And we were trying to hold them in, making ourselves as big as we could, whilst we worked out what to do next. And we could tell that one of them was about to bolt. She wanted to leg it. And we were there, what should we do? What should we do? I know what. And we all agreed on this. We said, let that one go. Let that one sheep go, and we'll focus on the rest. We learned the hard way, as all of our biblical knowledge and theology went out the window. We learned the hard way that sheep stick together. They are created for community, just like we are. We too are made for relationship. So what's great is that we are not called to travel life's journey alone. In fact, the Holy Spirit breathes community. He creates real fellowship wherever people are open to him. He doesn't just create community, he creates church. He brings life. He breathes life. Would you like the Holy Spirit to breathe life into you today? Ask him. The devil, on the other hand, comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to scatter the flock, isolating us so that we feel alone. And one of his most prolific lies is that if we keep our faith to ourselves, because it's private, nobody needs to know about it. But praise God that God is with us by the Holy Spirit, and says exactly the opposite to that. He hasn't left us by ourselves. He's given us other believers to share the joys and trials of life with. As I learned the hard way on that day in North Yorkshire, sheep stick together. As I've learned since, there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. So who else is God calling you to share this journey of life with? I'm not talking about marriage here. I'm talking about brothers or sisters in Christ. You see, when a few spiritual friends follow the shepherd's voice together, he leads them to those green pastures and still waters. He leads them through the valleys. Who do you know that won't let you settle for dry, parched grass, but wants to spur you on into the good shepherd's green pastures? And who do you do that for, or long to do that for? I wonder if you'd like to explore being in what we call a fellowship band. A growing number of people in our church family want to press on together into all that God has for them. They don't want to settle for past experiences of God. They want to actively go where God leads them and actively, intentionally seek him together. I'm enthusiastic about this. It's really transformational. I'd love to talk to you about it. If you want to know more, please contact me. My details are on the church website. So, God is our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who shepherds us today. And we were created for community. Who helps you hear the shepherd's voice, and who are you hearing it for? Let me pray for us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Thank you for how you shepherd us today. Please help us learn to hear you speaking the words of Jesus to us. Please show us who you are calling us to press in deeper with, into your ways. Lord, no matter what life throws at us, may we trust wholeheartedly in you, and may we and our spiritual friends together refuse to settle for anything less than the life in all its fullness that you have called us to. We praise you, we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.